special welcome tonight. Welcome back. And it's really great to have everybody join us, including Mrs. Goldstein, a lot of the alumni that have come back, Jacob Applebaum that came back in a new version. I like the way it looks. Yaakov runs away. He's told to run away. Rivka tells him, listen, you know your brother wants to kill you. She does not seem to inform her husband, Yitzchak, Hatzadik, Yitzchak Avinu, of the impending danger that their son Esav will want to now kill Yaakov. Instead, she goes to him once again. And I think this is underplayed, probably because it's at the end of Parshas Toldos. Everything at the beginning of the Parshios is all famous. The end's not as much. And she once again goes undercover. And she goes to Yitzchak and says to him, we have no reason to believe he ever knew. He was ever told about Esav's plans. Instead, she focuses on something else entirely, a different agenda. We have to get our son Yaakov married, and the place to do it is not here. Not in Canaan, not B'nai Ches, but he's going to have to go off to our hometown, where we all got married. Where I'm from, where my mother, Avram, not her mother, but where her mother-in-law, right, Yitzchak's mother, Sarah, Imenu was also from the same family. Avram was from the same family. Yitzchak essentially was from the same family. They're all one family. They're all related to each other. Go to that family, and that's where Yaakov will find a wife or two. Now, Yitzchak calls for Yaakov, and he gives him the blessing. He listens to his wife. Go off, son, to find a wife. Not here. Not B'nos Chais. Go off to Haran. He actually changes. I have not figured out pshat. She says, go to Haran. He says, Padena Aram. What's the difference? Haran, Padena Aram. They're presumably the same place. There's only one place where the family is living. So if they're the same place, why are they being referred to by different names? I do not have a Hezver yet. And the Tereshalema, which would be the place to look, was went missing this morning. So that's the end of it. In the meantime, our parsha opens up. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava. So how does Yaakov go? Vayelech Charana. I'm a little mixed, torn. And I will share with you what I'm torn about. I think we could learn a little bit. It's not going to be the main piece of Sicha, but will be the segue to get to our main point. She, Rivka Imenu is the one that told Yaakov, go away, to run away from your brother who wants to kill you. She said, go to Haran, away from your brother. Yitzchak says, go to Padan Aram, to the family, same family. Go to Padan Aram and go there to marry. Yaakov, how does he go? Does he go with his mother's intent in mind? I'm really essentially running away from the danger, and once I'm there, I might as well pick up a wife. Or is he thinking, essentially, I'm going to find a wife, and it's good also to stay away from danger? What's his main agenda? Very interesting. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava vayelech charana. Which one did Rivka say? And which one did Yitzchak say? Rivka said Haran. So it sounds like, by the idea that Yaakov is going to Haran, not to Padan Aram, the place where Yitzchak mentioned, it sounds like he's going essentially to stay safe, away from Esav. But while he's there, he'll get married. That's what I would think is inferred from the town which is chosen, Vayelech Haran. However, Rashi says, there's something called Hekesh. Hekesh means that you have two parts of a pasuk that are right next to each other, and you learn something about one part to the other part. What's the connection of the first part of the pasuk that Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran? And why altogether does it tell us that he left Be'er Sheva? Comes Rashi. I don't have time to explain it. It's a little boring to explain how I know this. But this is really what Rashi is saying. That essentially he would never have left Be'er Sheva. Nachi will fill you in on the details. He would never have left Be'er Sheva had he not had a greater mission to accomplish in Haran. Had there not been a greater agenda, he would never have taken out what he was accomplishing in Be'er Sheva. He was a great tzaddik. He was being mashpia. He was inspiring to the people. He was uplifting people. He would never have left that area of responsibility and obligation, his accomplishments, had he not had something bigger and better, more pressing and important waiting for him in Haran. That is Pshat and Rashi, the idea that a tzaddik leaves, the or, the light, the glory goes with him. That's what Rashi is saying. What Rashi is saying is he left Be'er Sheva for one reason and one reason only to leave Haran. And if the main agenda is to run away from the murderous brother, then I really don't understand the Pshat. If the whole point is to leave, to run away from danger, that does not sound like there's a great agenda waiting for him in Haran. That sounds like he's running away from something. The reason he was going to Haran is because he had to go somewhere. Why did he run away from Be'er Sheva? Because he had to run from Be'er Sheva. Someone was after him. That's a vastly different approach. Is it that he's running away from Be'er Sheva to do something? Or is he running to Be'er Sheva and to Haran, and the only way to get to Haran is if he leaves Be'er Sheva? There's something very interesting later on which might shed light on this. Yaakov stays in Chutz La'aretz for a long time. And Rivka Imenu says to him, listen, you stay there in Chutz La'aretz until I send for you. I'll send a telegram, I'll send a message when the coast is clear and Esav's anger has subsided. Rivka does not send the message. Yaakov flourishes, marries Leah, marries Rachel, starts to have children, has his 11th child. Yosef is born. And the same pasuk that Yosef is born is when he realizes it's time to go home. Why did he not realize before? What was he waiting for? And it says, listen to this, Vayehi kasher yolda Rachel et Yosef, all one pasuk. Perek Lamed Pasuk Chafei, when Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Vayomer Yaakov Elavon, Yaakov says to Lavan, Shalcheni, send me, Ve'elchoel Mekomi Elarti, that's when I want to go home. Apparently, there was a mission to be had in Haran, and it was waiting for Yosef to be born. This mission is only accomplished when Yosef is born. Mission accomplished, he can now go back home. He does not wait for Rivka's message. Come back. So is he running away essentially? Or was he going to do a mission? If he was essentially running away, then what happened after Yosef's birth that now he can go back? However, if he was going to accomplish a mission, then maybe that mission lied in Yosef's birth, exactly in that point. I'd like to suggest, just on the side, I don't have a full explanation for you what that connection is. I don't. As I introduced it, I don't have the full explanation here. Torah Shleimah was missing, so I'm left empty and blank, as well as you. It's something to think about. However, there's something tremendous that I was not willing to give up on regarding this point. Because I think very often we have two things that we have to accomplish. We have a reason why we have to leave something and a reason why we have to go to something. And sometimes the main reason is really the reason you're leaving. And it's very easy to then harp on that and not focus on what you're approaching. Where do we see this? The Magid Midubna brings this down on Parshas Maaseh. Parshas Maaseh opens up that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Motzoehem L'Maaseihem V'Eile Maaseihem L'Motzoehem. What are these words? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the departures, each place, the Motzoehem, each place they left, L'Maaseihem, towards their travels. V'Eile Maaseihem, and here is the list of their travels, L'Motzoehem, towards their departures. And the Magen Midubna asks the question, why does it switch? Motzoehem, L'Maaseihem, their departures towards their travels, and their travels towards their departures. Which one are you going to go with? Why does it switch the order? He says, you know what it's like? Family where you have a father and a mother. Mother is a little abusive. And the father realizes his one solution to help this son get out of the bad relationship, the ill relationship he has with his mother. That is, if I get him married. Hitting 21, 22. Let me just get him out of the house already. And the father goes off on a journey and he starts looking for potential women that he can set up with his son for marriage. And he finds a shidduch and this girl is amazing. And the father is so excited. Meets the parents, everyone's in on it. It's great. Father goes home, tells the son the exciting news. And they get in to the wagon, and the son, after an hour, says, "No, driver, how far have we gone?" 100 kilometers. A little while later, "How far have we gone?" 150 kilometers. "No, how much further? How far have we gone?" And then the father says, "How much longer till we get there?" And the son stops the father and says, "Dad, I've noticed that when I asked the question to the driver, I was always asking, how far have we gone? And you just changed the question, how much further till we get there? What was the change in the question all about?" And the father says to the son, "Well, you see, I was there. I saw the girl. I met the family. Everything is set up. She's great. The family's great. So I'm excited about what we have to reach. You don't know the family. You don't know the girl. So you can't be excited about what you're going to get and see. But you're excited about what you're leaving, what you're running away from." Moshe understood all the departures from Egypt were ultimately towards the goal of getting to the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. But from the perspective of the people, here are the travels. All they could understand was, we're leaving Egypt. They did not appreciate the greatness of what Eretz Yisrael offers them. They could appreciate leaving the suffering of Egypt. Yaakov has two missions. He has to run away from peril, from danger. But he also has another mission. He has to go bring light, the light of Kedusha, to the world of Haran. Part of that Kedusha is by Pruer Vu Melu Aretz B'Kivshuha. He finds his Shlemus by getting married to the right one. And he has children from both wives, Leah and Rachel, which provides the Shlemus. Once he sees that his Shlemus, his completion, is being spread into the world, it's succeeding, now I can go back home. It's very easy to go with one agenda and forget about the importance of the other. Or to do this one and not that one, or this one and not that one. I don't have a full pshat here. I'm not leaving you with a full pshat. But I'd like you to realize that sometimes we go someplace and it's simply a mindset, a perspective. You go to Yerushalayim. Why am I going to Yerushalayim? Someone's taking me out to eat. Fine. So you're there. Yerushalayim. Soak up the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Separate agenda. There's no that's not why I'm going to soak up the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Once you're going, don't waste the opportunity. You could get two agendas at once. You're going to be going, visiting this one. I'm visiting them just because I have to pick up a package. That's the only reason. Once you're there, make sure you bring your mitzvah cup with you. Make sure you bring your midos. Do it well. Do it right. That's taking every single opportunity. Everything is an agenda of a potential opportunity for good. And it doesn't matter that I was doing this originally for reason X, you have another opportunity that ends up your way. That's an introduction, though, to our Yaakov Avinu that realizes he has to leave, but for some reason, he doesn't go. He tells Lavan, I must be going now, and Lavan, but I just want to be paid, and Lavan says, well, you know, mention your salary, your wage, and Yaakov comes up with this whole system, and I'm going to get the spotted, speckled, freckled sheep, and you're going to get the straight ones, and we're going to have this whole game. I just need a few months, weeks, whatever, and it takes time. And the next time, like months go by, and Yaakov doesn't leave. Until finally a malach comes along and says, Yaakov Avinu, go home. Fascinating. I don't understand. If he realized he was supposed to go home, go home! What are you waiting for? Why does he need, if he realizes that the Ribbono Shel Olam is on his side and he's supposed to go back home, go home. Money. Yaakov Avinu. He'll figure out the money situation. He'll go start a business when he gets to Eretz Yisrael. Start a falafel stand. I don't know. What exactly? His father was very rich. His grandfather was even richer. Get money from grandpa. I don't know what the... That's probably how he was an Ishtam Yoshev Olam. How he was able to learn all those years. His grandpa, Avram Avinu, was mamish loaded. Came back from Egypt. He did well. Rabotai, he stayed for the sheep. You know, forget the sheep and go home. And Rashi tells us, now, tzadikim chasa al mamonam yosar minasham. Tzadikim care about their money more than their lives. Where does Rashi say this? At yet another impasse where the same exact model is set up. Yaakov Avinu, next week's parsha, is traveling with the sons. And they go to the next camp, and they get to the new camp, and would you believe they forgot some little pots and pans? You forgot the Tupperware? Are you kidding? How do you think we're going to set up camp over here without the Tupperware? I'm going back. And Yaakov Avinu went back for those little $5 for $1 Tupperware set. Are you kidding? I'm not going to leave that. That was a good deal. I got an amazing savings. I am not leaving that. You can't just come by that anywhere. And he goes back. And he gets hurt. Ends up in a fight with the Saro Shalesa. Totally fine. He put himself in danger over the Pachim Kitanim. Over the small jugs. So what does Rashi say? Don't worry, I've got a great answer for you. Tzadikim care about their money more than their lives. How is that a good explanation? That just doesn't have a good ring to it. What's pshat? And we see this not only by Yaakov Avinu these two times, we see it by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro every single one of the Makos, let my people go. And Paro has a very interesting development. As the Makos progress, He's willing to let a few more people go. The men and women, leave the children. I'll let you take the men, women, and children after Makkah's Barad. He's had it. It's been rough in Egypt. Take the whole nation. Just leave the animals. What does Moshe say? No. I am not leaving the flock here. They come with me. Why? Go home! The Jewish people are suffering. They're out there in Egypt. That's it. We've been here 210 years. We ain't living without no sheep. Those are ours. Leave! There's a sefer called Sefer Shevet Musa. This sefer is mamish, an incredible sefer. Written by Rabbeinu Eliyahu HaKohen. Let me just tell you a little introduction to the sefer. One of my favorite sfarim. You open up the front cover, and the following story is there. Rav Simcha Zissel. I don't know the Hasidic masters. Ask Rav Asher. There are two Hasidic masters. We'll start with that. And one was sitting there learning the Ramah in Yerideya. And he sees the Ramah in Yerideya says that we have no more anava bizman hazeh. There's no more humility in our day. And the Rav, the Gadol of Yisrael, got entirely depressed. If the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch says there's no more anava bizman hazeh, hey, what am I? A mamish, a nothing. And he was sitting there thinking about it, totally depressed, and then there's a knock at the door. His little 3-year-old girl goes, gets the door, and a moment later she walks into his office. Tati, a man came to the door and left this for you. And it was a sefer Shevet Musar. And he sees, opens it up, and one of the pages had the tip of the page folded over. You know, it was marked. He opens up to that page, lands there, and he sees the Sefer Shevet Musar, Rabbeinu Eliyahu HaKohen, is talking to him. And in case you might think, I have the Sefer at home. It's a 2-volume series. Unbelievable. Married it. In case you might think that there's no anava anymore today, and therefore there's no greatness today, so it's not true. It says in Parshas Kisavo that you should go to the Kohen Asher Yeh Bayim Imahem, that you go to the Kohanim, the Shoftim, the people that are around in your day, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes every single generation's leaders the leaders that they need to be, and every leader should feel the simcha and not depressed that he is the leader that Am Yisrael needs in that generation. He started feeling all happy. He was thinking, wait a minute. Who sent me the sefer? It was an akizor. Someone brought it. And whoever brought me the sefer, how did they know to fold over that page? That's what I was thinking right now. That was the chizuk I needed. So he figured, oh, it must have been my good friend from down the block, the other chassidic master. I can't like pronounce these names, so I can't remember them. So he figured, oh, later tonight there's a simcha. I'll go ask him. How? What kind of magic did he use? How did he know to fold over that page? He meets up with him. He says, Rebbe, how'd you know? He said, know what? To send me the sefer. What sefer? Shevet Musar. I haven't seen that sefer in years. You didn't send me the sefer? No, that was not me. And he tells him over the story what happened. And the two of them start talking and they realize the only one that could have done this was Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi must have brought him this sefer. Who else would know what was in his heart? So then they started talking, but wait a minute. Eliyahu HaNavi, they don't have money up there in heaven. So which farm store did he rip this off of in order to give me the sefer? So then they came to the conclusion it must be they had this sefer, a copy in Shemayim. And that's how the introduction, the opening page starts. V'zehu Shevet Musar HaSefer Min HaShemayim. And this is the Sefer. An incredible Sefer. Perek Rishon. somewhere in the middle of Perek Rishon, I don't remember which sif, the following story is there. A guy is working in the field, and pitom Eliyahu HaNavi appears to him. And he won the jackpot. You, Plony, I'd like to inform you of the good news in heaven. You've been awarded many millions of dollars. But you have a choice. You could have it now or in 7 years. He says, I don't know. I don't make any decisions in my family. I'm going to go ask my wife. So he runs home. He goes to his wife. He says, dear, you're not going to believe this, but we have Eliyahu HaNavi in the field. Excuse me? You left Eliyahu HaNavi in the field? It's like, yeah, but you're not going to believe this. It gets even better than that. He's offering us millions of dollars, and it's now or in 7 years. What do you think? He's like, do you have a brain? Now or in 7 years? Now! We're like, what are you thinking? Of course now. So he goes, runs, and you left it. So he runs, and he says, my wife's decided now. Okay, and he hands him the suitcase. And his wife says to him, one thing. We're going to keep a notebook of how we spend every single penny, and we're going to do as many mitzvahs as possible with this money. It was a gift from heaven. We have to be very careful. 7 years later, Eliyahu HaNavi comes back. And the man's working in the field. And Eliyahu says, nope, time is up. I'd like the money back. And he says, excuse me? Oh, no you don't. Just like I didn't take it without my wife, this is on her. I'm going to her. You wait here. And he runs home. And he cannot speak. He can barely get the word out. He's telling his wife, you're not going to believe it. Eliyahu HaNavi is back in the field. He wants the money back. We spent it. She says, I understand. Take this notebook. The notebook that we wrote every penny in. And go bring it to Eliyahu HaNavi. And you tell Eliyahu HaNavi that in the event that we didn't spend the money properly. I don't know how, but we will pay the money back. But we filled up the money with mitzvot and chesed and Torah and achdus. That's what we spent the money on. And you go show this to Eliyahu HaNavi. And he went, showed him the notebook. And Eliyahu HaNavi said, Zechitem atem, zechitem atem. You merited, the money's yours. And the Sefer Shevet Moser comes along. He says, Rabosai, we are not talking just about this fictitious story of money in the field being brought to you by Eliyahu HaNavi. We are talking about every single gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Everything that He gives us is a gift on loan. And there is a payback date. There's a payback there. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I gave you eyes. What did you do with them? What did you look at with your eyes? You looked at more Torah? You filled up your eyes with more Kedusha? You filled your eyes with being able to help people by looking into their souls and having insight in order to help them? Or did you look with your eyes in order to look down upon them, to embarrass them, to use your eyes for inappropriate sights? What did you do? I gave you legs. What did you do with them? What did you run to? What were you lazy to? You ran to this and barely made it to the base medrash. It's a payback day for every single thing that we have. A friend of mine, who a number of you know from Toronto, or Rafi Lipner. So Rafi Lipner sat right behind me in the Gross Kollel. And one Shabbos he decided to do what a number of us used to have fun with. you go to Mea Shearim without any plans whatsoever, and you go to Karlin Stolen. And there's an unwritten rule. Don't worry, you will stick out. They'll know you're a visitor. And the unwritten rule is all visitors will get invited out. And they have a whole list of people that are ready to have people, and it mamish works. And I went, I had my experiences, he went, he had his experience, and he came back with far more cooler stories. And he said the following, that his host told him, we have a lot of minhagim here. I will not have the time between now and the morning that will not fit between now and chakras if I try to explain to you every minhag. So therefore, the ones that you catch, you can ask, and I'll be happy to explain. So after the soup was brought out, the chassid started collecting the crumbs, and he put them in his hand, picked them up, and threw them in the soup. Rafi Lipner says, okay, I'd like an explanation of that one. So the chassid says to him, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you things. That's tzaddikim chatal mamonim yoser minafsh. When you go up to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you those pachim ketanim. He gave you that money. So what did you do with them? I threw it in the wishing well. It was just 5 cents. It wasn't worth anything. Who cares? You did what? Excuse me? You threw it in the garbage? I gave you something and you threw it in the garbage? There's a cheshbon. He gave me challah to eat. I'm not going to waste the crumbs. So he collected all the crumbs and he can eat them if it's in the soup. And he's going to eat that. The year of Shemitah that just was and is still going on for fruit teaches us exactly this. I could learn mamish from my Rebbetzin, from my wife, my holy wife. What does she do? She cuts up the fruit for the babies. I don't know if you've seen what happens when you give fruit to a baby. Typically, it ends up disgusting, mushed, squashed in all sorts of forms, drooled on. It's just terrible. And when they're done doing whatever they do with their fruit, she takes it and puts it in her yogurt and eats it. I don't know how. Mamish don't know how. It's Sidkus. It's Kaddosh, she says. It's Kaddosh. How could you waste it? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to you. How could you waste it? Every single thing we have, that's Yaakov Avinu. There's a man, a certain news reporter that was known to be somewhat anti-Semitic. And he goes over to Rav Nachman Kahana, and he decided that he was going to do a news report about the anti-Arab sentiments that Rav Nachman Kahana has and upholds. That his dancing on Simchas Torah through the Muslim quarter is a protest to destroy the Arabs. And they came to video him. I once had that. It was really annoying. You know, when they come, I went once to the Young Israel, the Muslim quarter, and we were in the Muslim quarter, and all of a sudden, this lady taps me on this shoulder, and I turn around. Before I know it, there's another lady, puts her arm around me, and there's another lady over there, takes a picture. I'm like, oh, come on. Where's that picture going to end up? On to Simchas Torah. So, in the meantime, so after Yontif, they wanted to interview Rav Kahana. So he said, there are a few conditions, sure, as long as it's live. There's no editing. They didn't agree, so they mutually broke apart. But in the meantime, they had a certain conversation, and it went like this. This and the news reporter says to Rav Kahana, I really don't appreciate all the pushing and shoving that your congregants seem to do to me? And Rav Kahana said, I'm really sorry about that. But you have to understand, my people think that you're an anti-Semite. So the news reporter said, I'm not an anti-Semite. I just tell news the way it is. So Rav Nachman Kahana said back to him, he said, you know what? Life is like a supermarket. You get your shopping wagon, and you could go up and down the aisles filling it with all the narishkeit you want, and no one will say boo to you. No one will care. You could fill the whole thing with sugar cereals. And then at the end of the day, though, you're going to have to ring it up. And the cashier is going to see, one by one, all the narishkeit you filled your wagon with. When you get up to heaven, they're going to ring up every single news report you did, one by one. You get to choose. And he said, Rabbi, I am not anti-Semitic. I just tell news the way it is. He said, the man had the chance of a lifetime, tshuva, right there. He could have done it. He chose not. Seder, he continued in his ways. Avosai, my purpose of telling the story is for us, that we too have to know that. Life is a shopping cart. There's time. So much time out there. Time that's spent wandering. We have capabilities. Let me tell you something that I've noticed. It's a tremendously wild thing. I have a show, had Parsha Patrani to a certain extent. And as president of the show for 8 years, I was in charge of finding people to volunteer for certain services. And I've never found so many misfits in my life. It's just unbelievable. Can you head the welcoming committee? What's a welcoming committee? You welcome people. Is that really different? Like when you see new faces, you say hello, where are you from, welcome to the community. Where are you living, how do we contact you, so that way we can set you up for Shabbos, introduce you, welcome, let me welcome you to the rabbi. That's the welcoming committee. I've never seen so many people fail miserably at a welcoming committee. It's just remarkable. How about you? Can you please take the membership? What does that mean? You sign up the membership. It's just remarkable how inept people can be. So listen to the story. There was a guy that wrote a biting email about how the welcoming committee is not doing its part and he was not welcomed properly. Because they did not sing V'shavu Vanim for him. He got overlooked and he was hurt by the fact that everybody else got V'shavu Vanim and he did not. That's because we don't like him. That's why we don't. No, he got overlooked. So, Seder, sorry about that. So he had a whole long list of problems with the welcoming committee. So he said, Seder, why don't you take the welcoming committee? It's yours! And he was so excited and he failed miserably in it. A few years later, this same individual ended up becoming the head of a different committee. And it was a smashing success. He was phenomenal. He was one of the best the show has ever seen. And it's a shame the show will not lose him, and he's still functioning in that capacity. Phenomenal. Some of the people that failed miserably in some of those other committees, fundraising, membership, welcoming, so many different committees, chesed, some of them are CEOs of companies. Some of them, for a living, are company managers. You got to imagine that these people are capable. But somehow, when it came to voluntary work, they were just, all of a sudden, overnight, they were dumb. And then they go off to business, and they're brilliant. How does that make any sense? And I'd like to suggest something very simple, A very, very simple concept. One, the small concept, and then the big one. The small one is that not everybody is indeed gifted in every single area. And you got to find the right thing for the right person. However, that's not the real essence of the problem. The essence of the issue is that if it's not yours, it's very hard to be what we call a Rosh Gadol, a big thinker out of the box, to see the whole picture, to care enough to put all the ABCs together. It's not my issue. I don't own it. And if you own it, it's my business, my company, it's yours. It's your home. It's your problems. You'll understand exactly what to do. You won't have to deal with the problems and be in query, where am I going to turn? You'll know exactly what to do. It's yours. That's what you have to do. Every single person here has potential and talents, and you gotta simply understand, this is your life. It's your body that you were given by the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's your life, it's no one else's. Rabbeinu Yonah says the following analogy, and with this analogy, Mr. Hashem will close, or at least try to close. Rabbeinu Yonah says, a guy is given a task. I'd like you to go drive to Yerushalayim and take this envelope, pick up with this envelope a certain package that's waiting for you, put it in the envelope, and bring it back over here. The guy gets in the van, he drives, he starts speeding. And he is having the time of his life. He stopped at the Makolet and they had the chips, the favorite brand that he likes on a road trip. He then gets back in, he's speeding, did not get stopped by the police. Every light was green. He is having the time of his life with this drive. He gets to Yerushalayim, figures once I'm here, might as well stop at the Kotel. He davens, gets back in the car, comes all the way back, and he gets back to his Mishaleach, the one that sent him, and he said, man, you sent me on a great journey. It was just amazing. I didn't get stopped by the police. It took me 20 minutes back and forth from Yerushalayim. There were no red lights. I even got my favorite chips. And then it says, and where's the package? Oh, got the package. Rabbeinu Yonah says, if a guy goes up to Shemayim, Ribbono Shel Olam, don't worry. I didn't kill anyone. I didn't murder. I didn't steal. I didn't get stopped by the red lights. I didn't get the ticket. I kept all the don't do's. But you didn't do any mitzvot aseh. Oh, I forgot I was there for something. That's what I came to the world for. To do something. Every single one of us, we are a gift on loan. And up there in heaven, when it's time to pay back, you could pay back with a notebook. Look what I did, Ribbono Shel Olam. And Amir Tashem, when you start to make money, you'll keep that cheshbon, how you spend your money. And you'll have that notebook. What'd you do with your money? And Amir Tashem, every year, you should be able to make a cheshbon, what you did with your time, what you did with your guf, what you did with your eyes, what you did with your body, what you did with all the opportunities. Let's try to understand what it means to emulate Yaakov Avinu. To really have this message hit home. Of finding what makes us tick. How are we going to make our life ours? This is ours. If I have a problem learning, don't come with the attitude, Rabbi! Inspire me. You're not a senior in high school!
Is that the rabbi?
But he didn't have five chavrusas with me. Rabosai, in 50 years, that's not an excuse. It's your life. If there's a problem that you're hitting, that you're confronting, I'm hitting frustration, solve it. It's your life. Yes, the Rabbanim are all here to help you. But in the event that somehow what you were looking for didn't happen, that one meeting, I needed to speak with him on Monday, and it didn't happen, don't wait. Don't ruin the whole thing. Don't let it all go to waste because of that. Think. Solve the problems. Use the opportunities. And Amir Hashem, we too will lead this life of Yaakov being Shalem, and we too should go to Shemayim all Shalem.
Keep in mind that Nishmar is Le'ivu Nishmar, the ocean that fell, who gave up their life with Kiddush Hashem. And really, I ask everybody, the same Klal Yisrael.